Well, you're listening to the Habitology podcast, and today I have a special treat for you. We have Sadie from Serenity and Sunflowers talking to us about how she's progressed since graduating as a professional certificate in health and wellness coaching. So, Sadie, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much. It's an honour to be here, Melanie.
It's my honour to have you as a guest. And could you start by giving us a little bio about you and your business?
Oh, I could say what I tend to say anyway is that I'm a health and wellness coach based here in Adelaide, South Australia, and my main vision is to bring wellness coaching to the community through conversation.
Beautiful, beautiful. So tell us a little bit about your journey. When did you graduate, first of all?
Yeah, so I graduated last year, so 2022. We did a lot of the self-paced learning with Passion to Profit. So that was wrapped up around May, June time last year. I was pretty eager to get that finished because a lot of it had resonated with me for a long time anyway. And I knew that I had to put some of the things that I was learning into place sort of straight away because I wanted that practical, tangible result for myself. But yeah, so last year, and I had set up my business the year before as the name so that nobody else could get it.
Yeah.
But it also was entwined with the name of the book that I wrote in 21 as well. So I sort of started a book, started the Wellness Coach in Australia, finished the book before I finished the course, but it was a really lovely 12 months.
And tell us a bit about your book.
Yes, my little book, my 84-page memoir. I think I remember sharing with you that I had breast cancer diagnosed in 2020, February 2020, just before we all went into a global pandemic. So it was a bit of a month that month.
Good timing.
Good timing. The good thing about it all was the fact that the limelight wasn't just on me. And I've said that to people in the past. It's my career was on a real high, and you know, I then obviously found a lump that I knew wasn't quite right. Put my project management head on, like a friend of mine said, and said, right, we're going to get this sorted. There'll be some milestones along the way, but I wasn't frightened. I was a little bit scared at the beginning. And I just found that for me and my personality, that's come from a very shy child to a confident, sometimes not confident person, that there was a gap in my life in terms of sharing how I felt when I was diagnosed, knowing that it would possibly help other personalities like me, where, you know, we've been teaching people to live well, and then we suddenly have to digest what we've been teaching and also practice what we've been teaching others. So I wanted to put it in a little book, and I decided on the dining room table where I'm sitting here now is I would brainstorm the chapters that I wanted to be in there. And because I've tagged Just Be on the end of my business name, those actually became the title pages. So Just Be You, Just Be Strong, Just Be In The Moment, Just Be Inspired, and Just Be Real, unless I've just said that. So there were five chapters, and I published it, and I've sold it, and I've done some author talks. And the great thing about that is that I was entwining my well-being career in that book about how to make it realistic, authentic, and me, so that people would read it. And I knew it wasn't going to be an Amazon bestseller. That's not why I wrote it. So I've done some community author talks in councils, and I'm still selling it, and I'm still giving it when I feel that somebody deserves it as a gift. So yeah, it was a really lovely journey. And then obviously that was about the August, September when I published it, which was at the very beginning of the wellness coaching course. So yeah, a lot of inspiration in that little book.
It sounds like an amazing journey. And what I'm hearing, what really stands out to me, I guess, is that you had a really difficult period in your life to adjust to and understand. And you chose to channel that into a resource that could help other people.
Absolutely, 100%, if not 1,000%. And I think I knew that at the back of my mind when I started writing it. And I only did a couple of edits. Thankfully, my husband's dad is a typesetter by trade, so he was able to proofread it for me. My daughter proofread that I'd made the right changes, and there we went. And I own up to the fact that when it was printed, there was a little error in there, so I had it reprinted, but I still managed to sell my imperfectly perfect copies, And in actual fact, people wanted that one than they did the reprint. So it was a journey in itself. And it just taught me that doesn't matter how many times you read something. I read government reports nearly every day and see typos. So yeah. It wasn't a biggie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Congratulations on the book, and I'm sure you're going to keep selling it and using it as a resource as you grow into your career as a coach.
Yeah. I actually turned it into a workshop, which was really cathartic as well. Yeah.
Tell us about that. How did the book become a workshop, and what has happened with that?
The book became a workshop because I've always delivered workshops in the community through the 2 decades I've been in local government, and every couple of months I'm pretty much delivering a wellbeing and resilience program. And as I was writing the book, I thought, hang on, Sadie, you're writing content here for a workshop which will come out at some point. Well, my very first one was a year later, so August 2022, and I hosted it, would you believe, in my friend's caravan park camp kitchen. And I got 15 people there who all walked away having such wonderful feedback about my piloted The Art of Just Being workshop based on the 5 chapters, and gave them a little slice of what my book was about, but knew that it wasn't about just breast cancer. It was about showing people that if they have a chronic disease, or they have a health issue, or they just have sudden news that, you know, they didn't see coming, that life suddenly becomes quite real. And knowing that I'd always sort of been bringing that through chronic disease management training that I've taught, it was very interesting to be presenting something that I actually also didn't want to be defined by. I didn't want to suddenly be the health awareness coach that's had breast cancer, that's written a book about it, and then now all she delivers is workshops about it. Mm-hmm. Having said that, though, even though I don't talk about it front face, it's the example I use, and then we leave it. So it's sort of, yeah, because, you know, I've been doing the wellbeing training for so many years without even knowing that was actually happening inside of me. So, yeah, just sharing that knowledge and wisdom to say that things aren't always great, but we can get through them, and everybody's journey is different. So that was really successful. So I've rang another couple of those workshops since.
Yeah.
And then that transpired into Wisdom, which I wrote for as a women's wellness program. Mm-hmm. So that stands for womanhood, inspiration, self-discovery, optimism and meaning. And I launched that at a gorgeous historical house last October. And I was set to do another one recently, actually as a mindfulness walk in one of our national parks. But because of the weather, we've actually postponed it until spring, which is probably a really good time of the year to do it. Yeah, so that somebody approached me and said, can you do your wisdom as a walk? And I'm like, absolutely. It was designed to sit under a tree or walking. Yeah, it's that's how I've always designed my programs, that it can be one-on-one, or it can be in a group, or it can be without a PowerPoint presentation. It's just opening your options up if you feel confident to be able to do that. That sort of hybrid of offerings, because the content is there.
So is the Wisdom program an educational program or a coaching program?
I would probably say it's 50-50.
Okay.
I very much believe that there has to be some theory and science base to underpin someone's learning. I think me, myself, and those that filled in my little feedback, is that you really honour that. You know where it's come from. So mm-hmm. I actually love the elephant and rider that we talked about, and how I describe that as our emotions and versus our rational self. And if we're not, you know, and visualizing this, and I'll probably demonstrate it when I'm in front of everyone. I don't think I do the trunk thing, but
I'm wondering what the demonstration looks like.
Yeah, it's grounding for people, because they understand where it's come from, and this is now how I'm going to teach you how to do it. Well, in actual fact, I say teaching. It's more mentoring, and it's coaching, it's empowering, and it's not trying to put people's answers in their head. It's for them to understand that elephant and the rider, or the quadrant of
giving
the
them theory of yeah. how things work, so they understand the work that comes with the coaching, by the sound
yes.
of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And What else are you doing, Sadie? What else has worked for you along the way, perhaps, is the better question.
What's worked for me and what have I been doing? I think my family and friends would say, what haven't I been doing? I started my podcast last year, so I'm up to episode 44. Mm-hmm. And I've shared with you that my sort of avatar is somebody like me that is whole and honest and authentic and doesn't always necessarily have a lot of time in their day when they're trying to make sure they also have their time and their family time. So I decided to do a 5 to 7 minute episode to start with, and I did extracts from my book. Mm-hmm. And then gave some, you know, I haven't really done like the top tips thing until recently because I wanted to focus on building that authenticity through the podcast. That's worked really well. It's not a huge audience, but what I feel with even the podcast and my social media, which I'm active on, I sometimes feel that it's a bit of a burden, but I enjoy it as well. So it's a bit of a mixed emotion with social media. But I think what's worked is that in these early days, even 12 months later, I've gained the benefit of being visually there, as well as having a podcast and running my workshop. So my focus hasn't been on the one-on-one client coaching up until now, and I'm launching my first program in June.
So
it's called RISE, and yes, I do like acronyms. Maybe that's the government part of me, that I know that when I leave something, it's, oh, I remember what that means. So RISE is reflection, intention, reality, intention, self-reflection, and embrace and explore. And it's going to be a six-week program, or it is a six-week program. Mm. I've got a couple of clients eagerly ready to go, and I really only wanted a couple to test pilot, which is great. Yeah, so that's happening. The other thing I am doing, which I wanted to share with you and everybody else who's going to be listening, is that I was successful to also gain a full-time job in February, working on a state government project, which has been a little bit of a challenge working full-time and running a business. But I know that financial stability and the amount that I'm learning in the state government space is adding to my knowledge bank. So going from local government to state government, entwining the coaching, it has meant that there's been not a lot of time to really home in on the networking, which I love. But even that, in the last couple of weeks, I've had a doctor say, let's catch up. And also a couple of other community-based organisations, and I won't mention their name in case they don't want to, but they're focused more on the women's wellness in the community. And they want to collaborate. And then there's another lady that has just popped up around lymphedema wellness, which is wonderful. And I actually meet her tomorrow. So I'm launching a new sort of Facebook group / Heart Foundation walking group called the Breast Friend Project. So yes, I have 3 years later looked at how I can entwine my own breast cancer journey into helping other women.
In your way. And
in
not
my way.
The whole thing, but it is a part of what you do.
That's right.
Sadie, I'd love to get any of the links that you want to share about these partner organisations, if you think that would be fantastic, and we can put them in the show notes. I want to know who your target audience is with the RISE program. Who's it for? What are they struggling with?
It's in my mind to describe it as a foundational learning program. It's ideally, and I've designed it in a way that it is for somebody that hasn't touched their toe into the puddle of wellness yet. Or it's somebody that has maybe had an experience years ago and found it was too much for them too soon. So it's a very, what I would call, a gentle 4-week program, 45 minute sessions. Having had the initial call about what are their key areas, and their wellbeing questionnaire has been both filled in. And then a week after, so I guess session five, is a week after. And that's very much about what have they learned over those 4 weeks, and how have they managed to put some of those small goals. Do they still feel connected to their vision? How's it feeling for them? So it's just a real, like we're doing now, it's just an organic conversation about some of those things that they may have found as blocks, boundaries, Maybe they want to relook at some other things. And then a fortnight later, which will be session six, is that reconnect within a fortnight. So let them go slowly, and then a month later.
Okay, so it's people who are thinking about doing something for their well-being for whatever reason, but they're a bit hesitant. Yeah. And they don't want to take on too much, and they don't want to be bombarded, and they don't want to fail, perhaps.
And they can always come back and do it again. You know, we can roll that through depending on how they are. I just feel that there's a little gap here in Adelaide, and I feel it, and I know it, that a lot of people in the community, and because of my vision being bringing it into the community and supporting people that don't necessarily have or want to tap into their workplace well-being program or their corporate health program, that it's a gentle journey, it's a gentle introduction to well-being. Because I think when you're in this space, you sometimes automatically think that everybody knows what you're talking about. Yeah. And there's a lot of people in the community that, you know, will benefit from it. Yeah,
it's such an important advocacy piece for what we do and for well-being as a whole, because people, it can be this amorphous thing. What is well-being? Is that something I can read about in Prevention magazine? What do I need? Is it hard? You know, people have no idea. And it sounds like you're bringing in something that's really raising not just self-awareness, but awareness overall of what health and well-being is all about.
Absolutely. And it really does go through like the conversation that you want to be having with that person initially. What is your reality? What's your journey so far? What does your life look like right now? Then what is it that you want to intend to do? So, you know, the RISE are really only a 5-10 minute topic for the week, and then it's all over to them. Yeah. So I thought that was really, and that's from feedback from people who would really like a bit of an anchor each week. So,
definitely, it's a guided journey, just as we do in any regular health and wellness coaching program. There's vision, goals, and conversation.
Yes.
Before we wrap up, I know we're nearly at time, but tell us a little bit about your role, if you're able to, what you're doing for your full-time work.
So for my full-time work, it is actually for the Office for Aging Well. So it is all about the wellness of individuals that actually live within the community. So they're mainly seniors and, you know, aging people living in independent living units. And we're going through a big reform on the Legislative Act. So it was serendipity to even have the position, which is wonderful. I rang actually innocently before Christmas about another meeting that I was doing with them. And then, the rest happened and the job was available and I applied for it. And I thought, well, yes, I know it's full time, but it was only February to June. I can do this amongst all the other exciting things. And I was hesitant about going into state government, knowing that I really wanted 2023 to be all about my coaching. But then when I had a lovely Christmas holiday and go, wellness coaching is my life. It's just going to always, I think, be entwined with working for somebody else for now. That might not be the same next year or the year after. But I think my message from all of that to myself and others is that unless you suddenly get a job straight after your qualification and your certification, is that it's absolutely okay to be doing something else as well, because everything I'm able to give my current employer is coaching. I'm dispute resolution. It's talking to people on the phone. It's making them feel heard. We've just done some public consultation sessions throughout South Australia, and again, meet and greeting people, setting those events up from scratch for my work because of my events background. But knowing that none of my coaching is not far away.
It's integrated, and it's a great way to showcase the many ways that coaching can be used. So what I'm hearing you say is your perspective now is that having the full-time job doesn't mean that you're not coaching. It means that you're coaching, or bringing coaching into that context, and you're also doing what you want to do in your own business outside of that. And it sounds like you're very satisfied with that blend.
Yes, I am. Yeah. It took a little while. It took me at least a month. And I've been very open and honest about it. They've just extended the contract for another year. And that's pleasing to hear. You know, that it's a journey in itself being in state government. And knowing that the whole, every day of my work there is making a difference to somebody else. Then my coaching is mainly during the evening anyway, so that works really well. And what I haven't said yet is that I found that after the HACANSA conference last year, that I was surrounded by such like-minded people, but also a lot of people that had an allied health background or medical clinical background. And I thought, I want to do something. So last October, I actually got my certification to be an Indian head massage practitioner. And the reason for that is a friend of mine in the who works for the NHS is also a wellness coach in the UK and said, just do it. And I've just, recently been on the retreat where I was able to share that modality with 10 other women and know that after the massage itself and sometimes before is combining those two together. And I opened up my little wellness room at home in December and just went for it. I just thought, I've got an ex dining room. Now it's the ex dining room. And I've created it into this gorgeous space. Wow. Not too woo-woo-y. Just lovely and dimly lit. And I've actually got clients through that. So that's been a really lovely way to build that trust and rapport with somebody over a half an hour massage. So it's never something I thought I would do, but I'm so glad I did it. So I can now say I've got that modality that complements coaching so well. So, yeah, give it a go if you haven't even had one. It's a shame you live so far away. I'll come around later.
I'm going, oh, I wish I could. But I love the way you're looking at coaching. It's not as just strictly has to be coaching. You're finding different ways to blend it with other things, your work with and in workshops and with Indian head massage. I mean, I think that's a wonderful way to work, and it gives you variety, and it gives people also as your clients a bit of variety. And I can imagine that for Indian head massage, you will attract a certain type of client, and the challenges that they're facing will probably be quite similar and they come out in the coaching. So you'll start to get these little sub niches in the different working.
Yeah, I think when you asked us last year, what's your niche? And, you know, keep coming back to that niche. I know it's there. I know that I'm sort of, like Sue said, a portfolio coach. It's like a bit of everything, but I know that in my heart, it's very much around women's wellness. But equally, I've been asked to present at a carers event in October, and I'm going to use my RISE framework for that. They've had a look at it. They've gone, actually, that's half an hour content, perfect. Talking to grandparents who care for grandchildren who equally need that time and space to reflect. And so that's really exciting. I got the news for that last week as well. So I'm pop-upping is what I call it, whenever the calling is there. So enjoying it all as a combination.
Yeah. For me, when I'm listening to you talking about these things, I can hear some common threads, maybe not specifically defined as a group of people, but things like people who need some self-awareness, people who perhaps need a bit of self-compassion, who need to be heard. There's that type of person that maybe some of those types of things are coming into all of the work you're doing, so that there is some sort of a common thread there as to who you're working with.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Thanks so much for your time today, Sadie.
Oh, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you for having me, Melanie.
Lovely to hear.
See you in August.
I know, really looking forward to seeing you at the HACANSA conference. So anyone listening to this, you have to come along 30th and 31st of August in Brisbane. It's going to be amazing. Mm-hmm. And so yeah, I'd love to get from you an email with some of your links.
That's lovely.
And anything else that you'd want to share with people that I can put in the show notes for this episode.
That's wonderful. Thank you for that offer. I will do.
Thanks, Sadie. Look forward to seeing you again soon.
Take care.
You too.
Bye.